Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights from last Sunday's service at the California United Church of Christ. We also would like to invite you to join us in person this morning. Pastor Cobb is going to continue his sermons based on the 23rd Psalm. His sermon for this morning is entitled Rest and Restoration in the Shepherd. Our church is at 10:30 at 101 North Oak. Of course, you can also join us online. Another option is to join Reverend Cobb as he preaches at the Salem United Church of Christ on Route K at 8:30. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30. Certainly be glad to see you at any of those times. Once again, welcome to A Time of Hope.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Our first hymn this morning is My Jesus, I Love Thee.
Choir sings, Yes, My Jesus Loves Me.
Thank you.
John Martinson reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Walking with the Shepherd.
The first lesson this morning comes to us from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. This ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, choir. Man, awesome job. Awesome job. All the new ones that are there, just a great song to start out our worship with this morning. We're heading into a new sermon series, Favorite Bible Verses. I put out in the church newsletter, Judy Berger dropped me off one this past week for me to look at, and I had never seen it before, but what a powerful couple verses. Job 19, 25 through 27 says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Man, what a powerful set of verses. Thank you for introducing those to me, Judy. Maybe your favorite verse would be one that's a little bit more, you know, well-known. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We see that one. But probably one of the favorites, one of the most well-known, is Psalm 23. I brought with me my very first Bible. This Bible is 50 years old. I got it on November 9th, 1975, from the First Baptist Church in Eldon, Missouri. I got my name written in there. The guy that invited me to church, I've told you a little bit about Tim Rader. He wrote a little personal note in there as well, so I've got that. I've had that for 50 years up on my shelf. Many of us are familiar with the King James Version of Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's kind of our traditional view of it. My Bible's about to wear out. I read from NIV version, New International Version. And so I've got me a new Bible here in the last year. I haven't started reading it, but it's the New Living Translation. Look how this one's updated, Psalm 23. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close behind me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." I preached on this passage of scripture a few times in the past, and it never really took hold in my mind, but really only the first four verses deal with the shepherd and the sheep analogy. The last two verses deal with a guest or a person, a family hosting a guest. And so you have these two analogies here in this scripture of being provided for and being well taken care of. One person said it this way: these six verses give us all that we need. He says, "I shall not lack peace and provision, for he gives me green pastures and still waters. I shall not lack hope and encouragement, for he restores my soul. I shall not lack guidance, for he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I shall not lack deliverance in tough times, for he's with me, even in the valley of shadows. I shall not lack protection, for his rod and staff comfort me, and he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I shall not lack help and healing in all the events of life, for he anoints my head with oil. I shall not lack endless blessings, for my cup overflows, and goodness and mercy will follow me all my days. And I shall not lack eternal life in heaven, for I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Six verses, six little verses that maybe you memorized back when you were in Sunday school or at church camp or wherever you might have been. But we have the shepherd and sheep analogy all through Scripture. Boy, we have this big opinion of ourselves many times. You know, we dress ourselves up, we accomplish a lot in life, we puff ourselves up and we think we're in charge of things, but you need to know God looks at us as only sheep. Poor little sheep, poor helpless sheep. Jacob said it this way in Genesis 48:15. "Then he blessed Joseph," Jacob said, "May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day." And when you read about the life of Jacob, you'll see a guy that had an up and down life with faith. He deceived his brother, you know, kind of ran off. He had all kinds of different things that happened to him. But when he looked back over his life, he said, "God has been my shepherd." David is probably the most famous and probably used this analogy the most. We see it in Psalm 95. He says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Again, where's my screen? "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." And then again in Psalm 100, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." When David wrote this, some people thought maybe he wrote it early in life, because there's not a lot to do in the desert when you're watching sheep just wander around and, you know, graze on the pasture. Some people say it was at the end of his life that he wrote Psalm 23, reflecting on his life and his life as a shepherd and seeing all the different things that God had done in his life. He says, you know, our relationship with God is like a sheep and a shepherd. And we see that's what David was familiar with. We see that when he was chosen to be the future king, that he was out tending his sheep when Samuel got him. When he went to go do his biggest battle with Goliath to get his fame, his brother made fun of him. He said, whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness with? His brother didn't believe that God had prepared him. But then we see that David uses his familiarity, his life with the sheep that said that prepared him for the biggest battle of his life up to that time. He had to convince Saul, and he said this. He says, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of God. The Lord has rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and he will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. And then I have never seen, when I have been to Sunday school, VBS, church camp, children's Bible I looked at, have never accurately portrayed David when he went into battle. Because look what Scripture says about David going into battle against Goliath. It says, then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. I have never seen the staff as part of the picture. It's always the sling and the stone because they get the headline. But when he says there in Psalm 23, that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, it's like your favorite teddy bear. It's your favorite knife or your favorite rifle when you go out to deer hunt. It's something that gives you comfort, that you're familiar with, that you will have success with. So David falls back on this analogy that I'm just one of God's sheep. All the prophets fell on it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, that Alan read just a few moments ago. Isaiah says this about us. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. That he picks us up and he puts us in his arms. But then again, we can be like sheep. We can get into trouble. We can go to places that we don't need to. Isaiah again says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. But then later on in Jeremiah, the prophet says, but I will bring Israel back to their own pasture, and they will graze on Carmel and Bashan. Their appetite will be satisfied on the hills of Ephraim and Gilead. Because he knows that God will take care of his sheep and provide for them in all the different ways. We see that Jesus picks up on this theme in the Gospels that Alan read just a few moments ago, that he called himself the Good Shepherd, that there are bad shepherds out there. We see in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus uses the parable of the sheep, the lost sheep, that he had 99 in the fold, 99 back in the fence enclosure, but one was missing. To me, that's a pretty good percentage. 99% success rate is good, but not when Jesus is the shepherd. It says that he went out and looked for him, gathered him up, put him in his arms, and carried him on his shoulders back to the rest of the flock. And we see that when Jesus is separating the people before him, the ones that go to heaven and the ones that spend eternity separated from him, he separates them as sheep from goats. So many of us have this big impression of ourselves. But in God's eyes, we're sheep. Sheep that need his provision. Sheep that need his protection. Sheep that need his guidance and direction. And so when we read this psalm, the most important verse is the first one. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. David doesn't write that the Lord is a shepherd. He doesn't write that the Lord is the best shepherd or the coolest shepherd or the best dressed shepherd. He simply says the Lord is my shepherd. Because see, Jesus knows our hearts. Just like a good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows the ones that are weak and need a little bit more care, just like you ones that take care of your livestock. The ones that have had injuries, the ones that need a little extra attention. And when people came to Jesus, Jesus was able to read their hearts and their minds, to know exactly what their wound that they needed to be treated. With the woman at the well, it was her relationships. 5 husbands and living with another man herself. She had tried to fill that God-sized hole in her spiritual heart with relationships. Jesus said, I can give you living water if you follow me. Then the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He had a hole shaped, God-filled hole shaped in his life that he tried to fill with wealth. Jesus told him, go sell everything you have, then come follow me. Nicodemus, the powerful religious leader, came to Jesus at night because he didn't want anybody to see him, any of his buddies, because he was worried about peer pressure. Jesus dealt with him on his level and dealt with him on his power and his prestige and dealt with him on his theology. And with Peter, it was a long-standing battle with Peter and Jesus. He dealt with Peter's pride. Peter said, oh, everybody else will desert you, but not me. What did Jesus do? He humiliated Peter for Peter to finally be broken down. And then we see Peter struggle later with bigotry and racism. Jesus once again had to convince him that the gospel was for everybody and not just a closed group of people. But he tells us there that when I say the Lord is my shepherd, I'm separating out all the other shepherds. I'm separating out all the other ones that I try to follow. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 24, Jesus says that you can't both serve God and mammon. There it is, right there. Either you will hate the one master and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, or in the King James, it means mammon. That word means idol. That means you can't serve both idol and God. Too many people give a nod. They give kind of lip service to their faith, but they're really serving their other idol. In David's time, he had filled the blank in with who his shepherd was. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. But we need you to fill in the blank. Too many people, they say that my job is my shepherd, or my sport activity is my shepherd, or my stuff is my shepherd, or my relationship, like the woman at the well, my spouse, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, or maybe that it's your addiction that is your shepherd. See, you can't be part of two flocks. You have to be one flock and stay with that shepherd. In the very first sense of the very first verse, David claims and sets us the example that he said, this is my shepherd. And because Jesus is my shepherd, he answered the second question, I shall not want. I don't know about you, but the commercials that are on TV today, back when I was younger, I paid attention to different commercials than I do now. You know, the commercials are playing upon the fact that we don't have something that they have, and you know, that if we have it, we're going to be a lot more happy. The commercials that get my attention today, the ones that hopefully will limit my trips to the bathroom in the middle of the night, those ones get my attention, all right? The ones about hair restoration really get my attention, and they never give me the full cost of it. They always say that it's a $250 discount. That lets me know it's probably too expensive for me, so I probably need to move on. And then Frank Thomas and Doug Flutie tell me that I need testosterone. That would make me happy. And so we see here, he says, I shall not want. And then the last five verses of Psalm 23, they tell us why we will be content with the Lord as our shepherd. Paul wrote this way to the Philippians. I think he was thinking of Psalm 23. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I encourage you to read through the book of Ecclesiastes, 12 chapters. It only takes you less than 2 weeks to read a chapter a day. But Solomon tried to fill that God-sized hole in our spiritual heart with everything but God. The very first chapter, the second verse of the very first chapter of Ecclesiastes, he says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And for then on the next chapters, he tried everything. He tried pleasure. He tried relationship. He tried work. He tried accomplishment. He tried power. He tried all those different things. Ecclesiastes 5:15, it says, everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil, that they can carry in their hands. And then the very last two verses of chapter 12, Solomon says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or bad." He tells us right there that only the Lord can fill the spiritual wanting that's in our life. Jesus said this to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All these things that we want to chase like sheep that scatter off, it never fails. Even when the pastures are green, which they are not now, where do you usually find a couple of your livestock? There'll be green grass in the middle of the pasture. Where do you find them? At the fence, sticking their head through the barbed wire, chomping on the greener grass they think on the other side. That's us. Instead of following the well-worn paths that take us to water, take us to the place that where we get our hay, take us to the place where we get our feed, we like to stray off into different places. James chapter 1 talks about that temptation that we try to follow the things the world tries to make look shiny and nice, and we end up getting hooked into the deception that the world tries to offer us. But the Lord is always calling. He's always looking. Because David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." But when Jesus picked up this analogy, he changed it. Instead of the sheep being sacrificed for the shepherd and for his buyers, the shepherd was sacrificed for his sheep. And that's us. But we have to claim that shepherd for ourselves. My parents can't claim that shepherd for me. My friends can't claim that shepherd for me. My spouse can't even claim that shepherd for me. Betty is on my vision insurance. And she's on my dental insurance and I'm on her vision insurance. I'm listed there as someone that can take part of that. But salvation doesn't work that way. You have to take out your own policy for yourself and you have to claim Jesus today. As Isaiah said, like sheep we have all gone astray. And he uses that staff to gently bring us in, to bring us back. That's through the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit prompting you to adjust in your life today? What wanting needs to be replaced that Jesus now can fill for you? The book of Hebrews ends this way. Our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of sheep. Can you claim that today and make him your Jesus today? Your salvation is your own.